It's in our nature, I believe. We are not as motivated to keep ourselves safe as we are to keep others safe. As much as I talk about all of these lofty ideas, they're lofty because they're God's plan. There are no guarantees. And the thing is, that's so beautiful about that is God already knew that, right? He already had a plan in place for us to have the Savior.
Welcome to the Strategic Families Podcast, where we challenge your family to be rooted in God's Word, energized with gospel-centered purpose, and activated on mission for His kingdom. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Strategic Families Podcast. Great to be back with you again this week. And as you can see, we posted this episode a little bit faster than we have been recently, because today, as I mentioned last week, is part two with Monica Irvin on the topic of making a plan with your kids for courtship and dating. There's so much good content from Monica in this episode, and I know you're going to love it. A couple of friendly reminders before we get started on the episode. First, as I mentioned last week, we would love your feedback and your questions, and we want to get a conversation going and just connect with you. So check out our Facebook group at facebook.com/strategicfamilies, and then look for the group called Strategic Families Gathering, and just answer a couple of questions, and then we'll get you in the group. Second, one thing that Katie and I have become convinced of with family life is just how important it is to put these things into action. You know, it's really easy to listen to a podcast or read a book and then just sort of let it be information we consume that doesn't really have any effect. And we've done this so many times ourselves. Granted, we can't do it all, and not everything is applicable to all families. But when we can, as we have time and energy, it's so much better if we can start putting these things into action within our families. This is when we'll see true growth and transformation and fruit. And this is really our heart with Strategic Families, that the concepts we talk about here, by God's grace, would have a real impact on your family. We want to help change the trajectory of your family and our family so that we're more and more aligned with what God wants for us and for our kids as they grow. Some things will sort of leak out as we parent, but so much of these healthy and good aspects of parenting need intention and purpose and strategy. They require us to really be deliberate with our time and energy, and that means we'll need to make things happen that aren't just going to naturally happen because we're going through life. Because let's face it, hope is a great thing, but it's not a strategy. We want you as parents to feel equipped and confident as you dive into these things with your kids, and that will really come as you start to actually implement them within your families. So, with all that in mind, we're also going to start sending out periodic emails, don't worry, not too often, to help you on that journey by giving you some ideas of quick but effective action steps that you can take in your family. We'll also be sending out information for some upcoming events that we're really excited about. We want to see families take the next step from getting good information to implementing and strategizing together how you can be growing as a family. You and your spouse can easily sign up for that periodic email at strategicfamilies.com, and the sign-up form is right there on our homepage. All right, now back to our interview, part two of two with Monica Irvin. I wonder if, you know, sometimes we can start to believe a lie as parents, because a lot of what you're talking about, it's super strategic. I mean, you're talking about being involved in the planning and being so intentional and teaching all these amazing principles. I think sometimes we can buy into the lie that, you know what, kids will be kids and you can't be too controlling and they got to figure stuff out for themselves. But can you address that? Why do we not need to buy into that? Like, what are the dangers if we just say, you know what, kids are going to be kids?
Well, so one of the things that I thought was the most dangerous, that I believe is one of the most dangerous things for teenagers, is to hang out with their friends when it's boys and girls. Because I know that's when a lot of problems happen, when there's not a plan. And right. One of the things that I get from a lot of parents, they will listen to me teach on this topic and they'll read our book and they're all in and they get the wisdom behind this. But then they're like, yeah, okay, we're all in. But if my son or my daughter knows these principles and wants to do this, but what do you do if the rest of all their friends don't? And listen, it's not easy. But I had a mom 2 years ago at a convention come up to me and she says, Monica, I loved hearing about the courtship and dating plan. She said, so I did exactly what you said. I went back and I called a church meeting with all of the parents of our church youth. And I taught what you taught to us. And they were all so excited. And we implemented this strategy.
Wow.
So the truth is, you all, you do need some other parents on board. Because one of the things and one of the rules that we had was that our kids were not allowed to go on a date, a well-planned activity with someone of the opposite sex, with the same person two times in a row. That was just to cut down on exclusivity. That was to keep this principle that our only goal right now before you're old enough to get married is to build healthy relationships with young ladies of the opposite sex and to honor God and have some fun. But if you were in the world and your son calls up a girl and asks her to go on an activity this weekend, and then a week later calls up another girl and asks her to go on an activity in the world, he would not be looked upon very nicely. He might be looked on as a player or, mm-hmm. you know, if a girl knew that he was calling to ask her to an activity, oh, he must like me. He must really want to date me or want to be my boyfriend. And so that's where you've got to pull the group of kids out of the world and you've got to help them go, this is the plan and this is the purpose of the plan. The truth is, it became so fun in our youth group that the boys and girls would just rotate around like, okay, who are you going to be responsible for this weekend was kind of always the thing. And so, but what I found is why I don't like parents and teenagers not having a plan and allowing our kids just to hang out and to just do what they want to do is because when your children are not responsible for anyone but themselves, once again, the level of commitment is reduced to abiding by God's principles. It's in our nature, I believe. We are not as motivated to keep ourselves safe as we are to keep others safe. And yeah. Girls, too. Girls have a great responsibility to help keep young men safe, spiritually and physically and emotionally safe, same as the young men. And so that was what we always were teaching is, who are you going to be responsible for tonight? Who's your buddy that you're going to watch over tonight or today or whatever the activity is? And you all, that's why it requires plans. So a lot of times now once again, we were parents of boys. And so we were really close to all our sons' friends, but our sons would come home and go, Mom, Dad, we've got this incredible idea for a date. And now we've got to find four girls to do it with us. And so it became more about the activity than about, it didn't matter exactly who. They just needed their partners to complete the activity. But let me give you an example of what happens. I'm going to tell you about a phone call I got from one of my sons when he was a freshman at college. And this is very typical of what kind of activities they learned how to create. So he calls me up on the phone. He's like, Mom, I've got to tell you about this amazing date I had tonight. And I'm like, okay. He goes, well, me and this guy took these two girls out and it was the first date for both of us. He goes, it was so fun, Mom. We totally scored on this date. And you know, he's just going on in all his college lingo. And he says, well, we took them to Walmart. And I'm like, son, has your mother not taught you anything? You took a first date to Walmart. He's like, Mom, wait, it gets better. He goes, well, so we took the girls to Walmart and both couples got a buggy cart, whatever you want to call it. And he said, and we set the timer and we both had 30 minutes to go in Walmart and just pick 30 random items off the shelves. And we had to meet back at the door in 30 minutes. He said, so, you know, it was so fun. You had to get the most random item you could think of. And so then we met back at the front door and we swapped cards. And then it was a race, which couple could find where those items went without asking an employee and get back to the front door first.
Oh man, that sounds like so much fun.
I was like, surprised that the security did not kick y'all out of Walmart. I can only imagine. And he was like, of course, me and my date won, Mom. He says, so it was a free date and it was so much fun. And of course, then they went and got sodas. But that was a date to him, you know, because I never wanted our boys taking girls to the movie, really not even taking them out to eat because they didn't have any money. They didn't have any money. And I wanted them saving it for more important things. And so, but you all, that takes practice. That takes learning how to be creative. And when we would talk to the kids about, well, what kind of activity could you do to experience people's personalities, their sense of humors, and that you don't have to worry about silence, you know, the awkward moments of silence. That's what gets our kids nervous about the idea of going on a date. What do we talk about? What do we do? Well, when you plan fun activities and every minute is planned, you can solve a lot of that nervousness.
That's awesome. Wow. Those are two great stories. I love the story you told at first about the lady who heard your message and shared it with the church family, because what she was doing there is creating a culture. Kind of like, hey, we're all in this together. Like we kind of talk in our homeschool co-op, like there's pretty much a no phone policy. Like none of the kids have phones. And it's huge because now nobody feels left out that they don't have a phone because nobody else has a phone. You know, it's the same kind of thing here. It's like, this is how we're going to do dating or courtship or whatever you want to call it. And if everybody kind of buys into that, it's hugely powerful and no one feels left out and or weird or awkward or whatever it is, because that's the way we do things. That's the culture. That's great. I love that story about Walmart too. That, man, that's fun. I'm going to suggest that to my kids. It was good. Totally free. I was thinking like, I don't think I have to pay for all those things and then to put them back. That's great.
Well, and just so you know, if anyone's interested, they can email me and I can send them the link to the webinar that I did that has the specific, and I can send them the PowerPoint presentation if they wanted to do that presentation on their own for their group.
Yeah, that's great. One thing I would love for you to do is, I wonder if you could give us a vision. You know, your kids are out of the home now. You've taught all these principles. They're bought into them. Like, I want to look at both sides of this, because I think, and no guarantees either way, right? Like, I know it's not, if you do this, your kids will, you know, buy into it and all that. But like you said, increasing the likelihood, like we do have a responsibility as parents to really care and to really take this seriously. And so on the one side, you know, if we fail to take this seriously, if we just say, you know, kids will be kids and let them figure it out, and, you know, I'm here for any questions, but like we don't really dive into it. What can that look like? And I'm sure you've heard lots of stories there. And then on the other side, like this beautiful picture of basically, we don't know that our kids, that God has called our kids to be married, but there's a good chance, right? And like the idea that our kids would one day, having lived this life of honoring God with the opposite sex, a friend of mine likes to say, like, what a gift you're giving your spouse, you know, that you took it seriously the whole time, you honored the opposite sex the whole time. And what a gift to give your spouse. And so can you give us like both a vision for both of those? I think that'd be really helpful.
I can. You know, as much as I talk about all of these lofty ideas, they're lofty because they're God's plan. Mm. There are no guarantees. And the thing is that's so beautiful about that is God already knew that, right? He already had a plan in place for us to have the Savior. And that's what we rely on when we fail. One thing that I think us Christian parents don't talk about nearly enough is, what if we fail? Yeah. What if we make a mistake? Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example. Parents don't ever want to think about their child having sex before marriage or getting pregnant and not married or any of those things. And in fact, when I try to talk about those things with parents, you know, Christian conservative parents are like, no, our kids are not even allowed to date. They're not going to be having sex before marriage. I'm like, Well, let me tell you reality, now that I have three grown men sons, how this looks. But one time, one of my sons was, I think he was about 16 at the time. Now, listen, he is and was a good kid. I did not think that he was engaging in any kind of immoral behavior. I didn't have that sense. But one day, I just had a strong impression that I needed to remind this son of something. And so this is how this went. So I pulled him over and I said, "Hey, son, I want to remind you of something." And okay, mom, I said, and so it was a longer conversation, but I'll shorten it. I said, "Son, if you were to ever break the law of chastity," and to me, the law of chastity is remaining virtuous and pure. And the second I said that, when I said, "If you were to break the law of chastity," he's like, mom, why are you saying that? Mom, I'm not. I go, "Honey, just let me finish. If you were to ever commit the sin of being immoral," and once again, he stopped me, "Mom, I don't understand why you're saying this." "Son, let me finish. If you were to find yourself that you had committed this sin, there is no one on this earth who would rather help you walk the path of repentance more than your father and I. You don't ever have to be afraid to tell us." He was taken back. He was uncomfortable. He didn't understand why I was saying that. And to be honest, I didn't either. Mm. I just felt I needed to remind him of this, because here's what's happening to our Christian kids. They have been taught to obey the commandments. They have been taught about what if you break the commandments. They know the expectations of their parents. They feel it. And many of these kids who make a mistake, especially a serious mistake such as that, are so ashamed that they never can bring themselves to tell their parents. They're for sure never going to bring themselves to tell their pastor. And so what happens? They just slowly fade away out into the darkness, because they don't allow the very thing that we've been trying to teach them since birth, that Jesus Christ saves and he forgives. He makes us new and clean. Parents are so scared. Like, I had a friend, when I told her what I had said to the son, her first comment was like, "Monica, why did you say that? It's like you're giving him permission to sin." And I'm like, "No, I'm not. My son knows. He's been taught since he was born the commandments. But I need him to know that if he commits a sin, a more grievous sin, don't give up. Don't think all is lost." Right. Well, what's interesting about that particular son is, to my knowledge, and I like to think I'm not naive, I don't think he ever, I believe he married chaste and clean. Mm. In fact, about a week before his marriage, I called him up, because this is just something we did a lot. And the truth is, in my marriage, I was more comfortable talking about these things than my husband. It was a personality thing. And we each had our strengths. And this particular strength was a little bit more on me. But I called up my son, and this was a typical conversation. I was like, "Babe, how you doing? How's temptation going?" He's like, "Mom, I want you to know that I think about sex every day, and I am so excited. I've got 7 more days, but Mom, we're going to make it. We're going to make it." And I believe they did make it. But I met a lady at my church years ago when I was a young mother. She had 5 sons, and I'm sure they weren't perfect, of course. And I'm sure I didn't know that they could be super stinkers, but I was impressed with these boys. You know, you could just tell just were good boys. So I was so intrigued by this. And I went up to this lady, her name was Miss Sellers. And I go, "Miss Sellers, what have you done? How do you do this?" And she knew we got to talk, and I was asking, "How do you raise boys who have stayed true to the Lord, or do their best to do that? Especially when it comes to morality and chastity?" And she goes, "Monica, you better get comfortable talking about it. And I'm like, what do you mean talking about it? And we were in church, mind you, on a Sunday morning. And she goes, I mean, you better get comfortable. And I'm not going to say the words here, but she did. She just said all the words, you know, and I was like, Miss Sellers, we're in the church.
We're in church.
And she goes, you better be able to, when you're in the McDonald's drive-thru. Well, son, have you been tempted with pornography lately? Or have you been tempted with masturbation? And she would, and I was just so shocked. And she says, Monica, your kids, good kids, have a really hard time finding the words to say, Mom, Dad, right now I'm struggling with XYZ. She goes, but if you can be their words for them and say, son, daughter, have you been struggling with thoughts of whatever?
Right.
It's so much easier for them to say yes or no, instead of coming up with the word.
Yeah.
And I found that to be very true. In fact, sometimes I would ask my kids if they had been struggling with something, and I was pretty shocked when they would say yes, regardless of what it was. And I just found that we had to become really good at asking a lot of questions.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, I think we break down a lot of barriers if we name it, you know, instead of just an open-ended question, which, you know, that can have value too. But another thing you're touching on there, which I love with your friend Ms. Sellers, is that role of mentorship. Like, it's so helpful within church context and in other contexts to like look to parents who may be just a little further ahead on the road and say, like, what is it? What do you do? And like, I mean, it sounds like that was hugely influential in your own parenting. And yeah, I love that. Okay, so let's say we've got a parent listening. And by the way, I'm a parent listening too. I've got a 13-year-old son and 11-year-old daughter. So this kind of stuff is coming. I know that there's probably no magical age, but what are some practical things that you would say, all right, when your kid gets about this age, you know, you should probably start talking about this topic and start developing plans. And can you give us just sort of a rough idea of a timeline?
Yes. To be honest, to me, you start talking about it when they're 5 and 6 and 7, and meaning that's why I want parents to know the plan long before their child ever has an interest. Because what I have seen that happens is parents wait too long and they say, oh, my child's not interested in dating, so we're just going to wait till they show an interest. And the thing is when your child shows an interest, guess what? That interest is going to be because they already kind of like someone. They're noticing someone.
Right, right.
And if your child doesn't understand what your family plan is and they start liking someone, then you're going to have conflict. For instance, you know, typical question, I had a mom come up to me and she said, you know, we didn't have a plan and my daughter had never shown interest. And then all of a sudden my daughter comes home from church or co-op, I forget which one. And this boy, his family and this boy ask if my daughter could go to the lake with them on the coming Saturday. And all of a sudden, me and my husband are going, do we allow that? Like, yeah. She's 14. Is that okay to go to the lake with? And we know the family. And so then if you decide you just don't feel good about it and then you're like, no, honey, I don't think so. Well, then you've got an upset daughter and possibly another family that's, you know, hurt. And so that's just why you've got to set long before there's an interest. And so I think you literally have to come up with a plan. What age? What's it going to look like? Like, our boys always knew that when they turned 16. Now, you might think it's too young. In our family, when they turned 16, they were allowed to go out with someone of the opposite sex with another couple, another boy and girl, to a well-planned activity. Mm-hmm. But it was more, they couldn't do it a lot, but they had occasions to start getting, we wanted them to start learning how to invite someone, how to start planning. And then when they were 17, they were allowed to go by themselves. And then they left for college the next year. And so, but our kids knew that since they were 7, 8 years old.
Yeah.
And what would happen is you just would be surprised how many times that something will come up and you will start teaching a little bit of the plan, start teaching a little bit of the why we don't have physical affection. Our sons knew that they were not allowed to put their hands on females once they, I mean, unless it was an intimate, close friendship. And we described and defined what that was. You know, if they wanted to hug their grandma or their aunt or their best friend, but they were not allowed to rub, touch, tickle, you know, squeeze a knee of young ladies. Yeah. And so, but that was talked about long before. And so I remember one time my son comes home from co-op. This is a perfect example. And he says, "Mom, you know, so-and-so, and we're such good friends." And they would eat lunch together at co-op. And he said, "For some reason, Mom, here lately, she's always touching me. Like, she's always touching my arm, or, and I don't know what to do about it," because he knew he wasn't allowed to do that. And so we had to role play, and we did. We role play because he didn't want to hurt her feelings, but he needed to draw a line. And so this is my son who's kind of crazy. And so he came up with this phrase that he felt comfortable with. And, you know, he wasn't comfortable with saying, "I'm sorry, I'm not comfortable with you putting your hands on me." That just wouldn't have matched his personality. Sure. So he came up with this phrase that said, "No touch of the body." And so he practiced that, and he did it the next Thursday. And I said, "After you do that, son, show an increase of love so that to help cut down the awkwardness." And he did. He told her, "Don't touch the body." And then he, you know, just tried to reassure her that they were still great friends. And it did stop. She did stop touching him. And so I just think you start young. You've got to start teaching aspects of the expectations.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good. That's a great example of, and I love the point you made about talking about these things before there's like a real life scenario, because then you've got, you're kind of on your heels, you know? And so, yeah. Having the plan ahead of time is, that's great. That's such a great idea.
I'll give you one more little story. Our one son was going to turn 16, and you know, some kids are more excited about, even though you might have a, say you have a rule that they could go out on a quote double date at 16, but they might not want to till they're 17, and that's fine, or it doesn't matter. This one son was all eager. And so of course he worried us because he was all about it and he could not wait to turn 16. Well, so he's going to turn 16. And so he wanted to plan this date. And he planned it out, and it was really fun. He knew the girl that he wanted to ask. And so he comes to me, he's like, "Mom," he goes, "so this girl, she is just obsessed." And of course I knew her, she was in our youth group. She goes, "So-and-so is obsessed with bacon. And so I want to make something with bacon for this, my first date." You know, he was trying to make his first experience special for himself too. Well, so he finally decides that he's going to make her a bouquet of bacon flowers. So he does. He cooks bacon. He circles them into little rose petals. He gets celery and puts it on a plate. So he has a plate of rose bacon. And that's what he takes to the door when he goes to greet her. And of course, he thought he was so smart for doing this. But what was interesting is he, and then he planned, it just so happened, we did help him a little bit because he wanted to go all out for his first experience. But the, what's the movie? The Princess Bride was playing at our downtown historic theater. And so he wanted to do that. Well, anyway, he comes about a week before his 16th birthday and he goes, "Mom, would you and Dad just be my double date for this?" And I'm like, "What, son? No, why would you want us to?" He goes, "I don't trust any of my other friends. I want this to be a good experience, and I don't trust my lame friends to behave." And he hadn't got into it yet. And I'm like, "Son, she's not going to want your parents to go." He's like, "Yeah, she's not going to care." And so we did. You know, we were his That's first awesome. Double date. What was interesting to, and I was, to be honest, I thought it was lame that he asked us to do that. But what I realized is that when your kids don't have anything to hide, when they are innocent minded, who cares if your parents go? They giggled. We had the best date. It was such a fun night. It was fun going and getting her and seeing him take the plate of bacon roses. And it just was a very fun experience and a wonderful memory for us. And
yeah,
that's what you can look forward to, parents, as you make these plans that are beautiful and fun. And yeah. And once again, they don't have to be full of fear.
That's great. I'm going to tell my son that he needs to take me and my wife out on this person.
He'll say, "Dad, who are you listening to? Don't believe that."
That is awesome. I love that. I've never heard of that. That's one of those things he can say, you know, whenever you have to tell something, you know, interesting about yourself, you know, he can put that on there. My parents went on my first date.
That's right. Yeah. And it was my idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, that's so cool. What a fun story. Well, we always like to incorporate scripture and I'm just curious, is there a passage of scripture that really encourages you or that has been influential in your parenting?
Oh goodness. You know, so many. You know, one thing I'd say about that is the scriptures are living. I will tell you that I do read the Word of God every day, and I can't imagine trying to maneuver my life without it. And I don't study an hour every day. Some days I do, but some days I get 10 minutes in. And so it's not like I am a perfect person here when it comes to studying, but I rely so much on the impressions that I get as I'm reading, and then as I ponder over that scripture the rest of the day. One passage that has always been a favorite that I fall back on just when I'm feeling discouraged, or I think so often as a parent, we feel, well, I don't know about you, but like sometimes when I feel like I'm slacking in my own personal life or spiritual life, and then I find myself in a crisis, there's always the temptation to feel like maybe the Lord doesn't want to hear from me today, or sometimes we feel like we have to be a certain way before we can access the power of God. But I love in Matthew 8, when the centurion comes to the Savior. And you know, the centurion is a Roman soldier who has worked his way up in the ranks of Rome authority. And as you know, the Romans hated the Jews. They were ruling over the Jews. They despised the Jews. They thought they were a despicable people in reality. And so the centurion, this Roman soldier, who probably we could assume that the reason he went up in the ranks is because he was pretty tough, and more than likely that would be tough on Jews. Here he comes to the Savior and apparently has a servant that he loves and is sick with the palsy. And he comes up to Jesus and says, will you heal my servant? And the Savior says, yes, I'll come and do that. And then the centurion stops him and says, oh no, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. But if you'll just say it, I know that he will be healed. And of course, we know what happens. We know the Savior healed him. He spoke that he was healed. And when the centurion goes home, his servant was healed. And I love that the Savior turned to his disciples and turned to the people around him and said, I have never seen greater faith, not in all of Israel. And what I love about that is I know that centurion was not a faithful disciple of Christ, right? He wasn't, because of who he was. And he told the Savior he wasn't, but yet he believed enough that the Savior recognized his great faith and was able to heal the one he loved because he called upon Jesus. And I just think as parents, we've got to realize that we don't have to be having a perfect day. Maybe you forgot to pray today, and now your son is having a crisis and you need God right then and there. And if you're like me, sometimes in my brain, I'll go, wait, did I remember to pray today? Do I deserve to have the Savior heal me in this moment? And I think that's how Satan is always tempting us and making us think we're not worthy to access the power of God. And the Savior teaches us there in Matthew 8 that it has nothing to do with our worthiness. It has to do with our belief in the Savior's ability to heal and to help. And so as a parent, just rely on that. Rely on asking him to heal everything. Be specific. I'd love to share more stories of prayers answered, but I know that he does. I know that he answers.
Yeah. Amen. What a great encouragement. Thank you so much. This has been such a treat, Monica. I'm sure that people are going to listen and they're going to want to follow you. How can they access your books and, you know, just stay in touch with your ministry?
Yeah. Well, you know, go to theetiquettefactory.com and I'll be honest, I'm not a very consistent podcaster, but I do podcasts. And so on our website, we've got our podcast called Parent Wise with Monica Irvin. And we've got about 70 podcast episodes up now. And each one of them, you know, they're principles, they're gospel parenting principles. And so you can find everything from disciplining your children to how to motivate your children to get off the couch and all kinds of just really good parenting tips on our website. The book that I'll show you, this one, this is just a tiny little book called A Dating Guide for Ladies and Gentlemen. And this goes into a little bit more specifics of what you and I have discussed today. Yeah. There's over 20 different safe date activity ideas to kind of help people get started with what these activities might look like. And so you can access that on our website. And then on my Facebook page, it's called The Etiquette Factory with Monica Irvin. And people can, through the contact me button on The Etiquette Factory, they could always email me with a question. And if they would like me to send them the link to the full episode of teaching our family a plan for courtship or dating, I can email them the link to that.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Oh, that's great. This has been such a treat. Thank you so much for all your wisdom, these great ideas and great stories. What a great challenge and call to us as parents to really take this seriously and to be strategic and involved with our kids. I couldn't agree more with your approach. It's a beautiful and powerful thing. So thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Wow, Monica, thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom with us on this incredibly important topic. Great principles and stories. I know this is going to bless lots of people as they seek to raise young ladies and young gentlemen who honor God and one another. Awesome, awesome stuff. Okay, so as I just mentioned in the intro to this episode, we just listened to some amazing content from Monica Irvin. Now, what are we going to do with it? Okay, so here's our action item for this topic. Make a plan for dating and courtship for your kids. And remember the big picture here. We want young ladies and young gentlemen who will be mature and who will honor one another and God as they navigate these important years. As Monica helped us see, a little planning will go a long way and will set our kids up for long-term success. In other words, this is totally, totally worth our time. And don't worry, our next email will include a process to help you do this well, so you'll have it all in writing. And if you have a kid who's already there and has started dating, it's not too late. You have a separate assignment. Take one principle from this episode that you found compelling on the topic and pass it along to your son and daughter. It could be general, like how you want your son and daughter to be pure. It could be specific, like the idea of your son going into the house to greet the young lady's parents. Or if you have a teen who has struggled in this area, take the time to talk with him or her about it and offer comfort and forgiveness and grace. There's so many things we could do. Pick one and make it happen. Well, if this episode was helpful to you, please share it with a friend who may benefit from it as well. Okay, so my song recommendation this week is called Crushing Snakes by Crowder. It's an intense song, but it is awesome. I think you'll really like it. Check it out, and of course, play it loudly with your kids. All right, that's it for now. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.